What's up, After Buzzers? We are back for another episode of The Americans. Actually, tonight it's going to be a two-for-one. So much is going down. We're going to get into it right after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah!
So excited!
Here we go!
We are back!
Back in the building!
The pack is back, and oh my goodness!
The pack is back, the two Al twins,
exactly.
Alina, Al.
We're back in the last two episodes, oh my goodness. Oh my, why is the show ending? It's so good! It's so good!
I don't know. I think Phil maybe told me not to talk during the music, so I'll wait, I'll save it.
Oh,
but I got so much
okay.
to say. Is that cool? Okay.
There we go. So, hey guys, what's up? I'm your host, Alina Vision, and I'm welcoming my amazing co-host.
Hey everybody, I'm Al G, back in the house. Glad to be back down with Alina. I go by Young Putin, aka Young Kremlin. Let's do it.
That's right. And I gotta give you a big shout out for holding it down while I was gone.
Oh man.
You know, life sometimes just comes right at you, like we saw in tonight's episode, right?
Life, it just keeps coming at you,
right,
man. Things start circling the drain.
Exactly.
You just gotta roll with it.
So glad to be back. All right, let's get into it because we have so much to go over. So we're gonna start off with episode 8, The Summit, which was last week. And my goodness, it was jam-packed. So give me your first thoughts about that episode.
Okay. The veil has finally been lifted with Elizabeth. Because as we know, throughout the whole season, you know, we see her and Philip kind of going down these different paths. And I was always kind of salty of Philip for basically snitching on her, you know.
Right.
That's still infidelity for telling what your wife's doing. Even though, I mean, I guess like the relationship was at such a causeway, you know, he felt like they had no connection. That's the only thing he could do. He couldn't convince her. But the good thing that came out of it is that she finally realized she was being used. Like all the loyalty mm-hmm. she has for her country, all that great ideology, it's just the people above her were basically manipulating her, not even telling her the whole deal. So her eyes are finally open. That's what I couldn't wait to see.
Yeah, I really love that episode exactly for the same reason. The fact that, you know, the opening, we had Philip and Elizabeth, you know, kind of butting heads. And he told her, I just want you to see. I want you to open your eyes and to see. And eventually at the end, she got it. And
she
when she was talking with Claudia, she realized that they weren't giving her the whole story.
Oh my
and
goodness.
She was just going blindly into the night and doing their orders. And even Philip said, you know, it's on us. It's not on them. We're the ones doing it, not them.
Basically, it's like, okay, yeah, you do your orders and you're a soldier, but at the end of the day, if you're going to be the one pulling the trigger and out on the battlefield, you have to live with yourself.
Exactly.
So you have to live with these decisions.
And they're having a really hard time living with a lot of the decisions that they've had to make, especially, I think, Elizabeth in this season.
Oh, my goodness.
She's just been on a killing spree.
She's been on a roll. She's been on a spree.
She has.
But this is
been.
The one time she, I know you'll get to it, but it's the one time she refrained from killing somebody.
Yeah.
I just knew she was going to kill Jackson, but she didn't. That was like the one time like she refrained.
She did, and we'll definitely talk about that.
Yeah,
for
and I'm
sure.
worried about that one time coming back to bite her, but we'll see.
You know. When you leave things hanging on a loose thread. And there's a lot of them out there.
Oh my goodness.
There's a lot. And I think especially in episode 9, we see things are just starting
to
unravel.
The jig is up.
Yeah.
The jig is up.
All the strings are starting to be pulled from all different levels, and it's getting, the news is tightening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Jennings. The jig is up.
It's about a wrap.
Yeah.
So anyways, getting back to episode 8, talking about that opening scene where Philip tells Elizabeth, you know, that he's been not seeing someone like another woman, because we all know that's happened before.
Right,
but
right.
basically insinuating about Oleg.
Yes.
And that there was somebody from back home who had reached out to him and was telling him, you know, to spy on Elizabeth. And Elizabeth just pretty much loses it at that point, because she's like, how long has this been going on for? Why didn't you tell me? And, you know, for Philip's sake, he was trying to tell her before.
Yeah.
But she had a point, though, because she's like, you love to talk. So if you really wanted to tell
me,
she said that. I was like, girl, you got a point.
And you're right. And that's the one thing, like, I can't forgive Philip for, even though his intentions were right. It's like, at the end of the day, you don't like spy on your own wife. Like, that's the one thing you hope that they had going for them, that they always had that trust. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Philip, he's the emotional guy. He doesn't know what to do with all his emotions. He has to put them somewhere, whatever.
Right.
But, yeah.
But it's like, the first thing you learn as a spy, I would assume, is to not trust anyone, even if it's that's your partner.
And that's another thing, too. And I think Elizabeth basically said a line similar to that. I don't know if it's in this episode or the previous one, but something to the effect of it doesn't even matter, like, you know, husband, wife, or whatever. Your loyalty is your loyalty.
Yeah.
So I guess at the end of the day.
Beeman actually brought that up, too.
Was it Beeman who said that?
Well, he brought that up, I know, when he was talking to Henry way back when Henry was doing a paper on him. And he said, like, yeah, I can't even trust my wife. And Henry was like, well, what's that like? And he's like, it sucks. You know, but I mean, that's just the world he lives in.
And you're right, because Philip actually flipped it on her, because she's accusing him of basically of snitching her out. And he was like, no, you were going against the country.
Yeah.
Just like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was like, I was doing exactly what you would have done because I am trying to help our country.
Yeah.
So
it was a tough one, man.
Good. Yeah, it was good. Such good writing.
Yes,
it is. So let's move on to Elizabeth and Jackson.
Oh, my God.
The intern Jackson.
Poor Jackson.
Goodness gracious,
what
honey.
A sucker.
Yeah. 21 and just glazed over eyes for this gorgeous older woman.
I kind of like Jackson, though, because he's a film nerd. I'm a film nerd. He kind of reminds me of myself and, I don't know, aspiring to, like, you know, work in politics and stuff. And he has this other side where he's like, should I go the simple route and work in, like, construction and pavement, or should I, you know, go work in politics
and work with this lady?
Yeah,
like, she's hot.
Like, yeah. Dude, and she gets him the internship and everything. Then he just finds out, like, he's being used the whole time. It was so mad. Did you see the look on his face when he's, like, carrying the thing back to her? She's like, meet me over here.
He looked like a scared deer.
Yeah, he looked like he saw a ghost. And she's like, you're wondering what's going to happen. And then, like, well, just, I don't want to get, because I know you have all this lined up, but let's go back to the hotel scene. Like, you could see it coming. You know
oh, you could
I
totally
mean?
See it. I mean, and she knows how, she's not, this is not her first rodeo.
It's not her first rodeo at all. And guess what? Yeah. Sex means nothing to her. She said it means nothing.
Nothing.
Whore.
Okay, we're going to get to that. Stay tuned.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, it's so clear that he's out of his league when it comes to her feminine ways.
Oh my God.
And, you know,
How do you guys do that with a clear conscience?
Listen, y'all are easy.
Well, a good man goes down every time, man, without a fight. God.
It happens. I mean, you know, when you want to get something. But anyways, she sets up this whole thing of like, hey, I need this dropped off, this box dropped off in a specific meeting room where there's going to be a meeting. And, you know, oh, they're waiting for it. Don't worry about it. And of course, quote unquote, the meeting gets canceled. But the guy, Jackson, actually checks the clipboard and sees that no meeting was canceled and finds out that the meeting that was in there before was for the summit.
Yeah. So he knows something.
He
pulls out the top in their little meet. By the way, when they pulled to the side when they're kind of like breaking down.
What did you think when she started pulling to the side?
I was like, pulling this little dark alley. Done. I was like, it's over for you, Jackson. When she pulls over to the dark alley, like, another one bites the dust.
Because she had that look in her face that she always gets.
What about when she grabbed him? She was like,
yeah.
I was like, hardcore.
You know, when she started to grab him and I saw the look on his face, I was like, she's not going to do it, because he looked so young and he looked like Henry.
He looked.
Exactly.
She saw her own child. That's what it took for her to finally break
through. She probably had Philip in her head saying, I want you to be human, you know,
that's
because
exactly
she's been acting kind of like a robot whenever she's just following her orders and not really thinking about the humanity of the other person that she's, you know, killing.
And I think that's what it took.
He's innocent for the most part. Like, he didn't know what he was doing.
But here's how dumb.
He's a useful idiot.
Yeah, he is a useful idiot. But here's how dumb and idiotic, though, he is. Mm-hmm. When she grabbed him by the hand, she's like trying to give him out. Like, tell me you understand. Tell me.
And
he's like,
says,
no,
I don't understand.
Like, you big dummy.
Just say yeah.
Just say yes.
Whatever.
That was hilarious.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I just feel like people who work. And they should honestly, like, you know, tell their interns, if you work in the government, especially in the State Department, any type of where there's sensitive material, like, this could happen to you.
Yeah.
So you need to keep an eye
out for it.
They
got to, like, tell them to sign an NDA or be aware of people approaching them or something. So.
Just out of the blue. And a couple of times, too. Like, what are the chances that you're going to meet on the subway? The lady that you were sitting next to at some random foreign film. Like,
he just has, like, sucker written on his
completely.
Head.
Completely.
Poor guy.
You know, it is what it is.
is what it is.
So yeah, I think she didn't kill him because he looked like Henry, and that was one of the times we saw like some the beginning of her realizing her humanity.
Kind of like when Philip is like forced to do all these manipulative things to Kimmy, and he's like, "How can you not look at Kimmy and see a daughter your own age?" You know.
Yeah.
So those are the things that that bring them back, and which is a huge theme I want to point out though too. I mean, I think I'm sure it's obvious to our audience, but to me, it goes beyond. U.S. versus Russia, capitalism versus communism. What it really goes down to is family. And it's like, how far are you willing to go for what you believe in, your ideals and your principles? And are you willing to sacrifice your family for what you believe in? How far are you willing to go?
Yeah.
And that's what the show's about.
Yeah, completely. And especially episode 9. Mm-hmm. But we're still on episode 8.
Okay,
but I will get to that. I'm going to put a pin in that, what you just said, because I completely agree with you.
Okay.
And I actually wrote down a note about it. So moving on to the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
The FBI stands on the hunt, man. He's hot on the trail.
Man, they are getting close and close and closer and closer to them. In this episode, we see that they're actually starting to look at Russian Orthodox priests, specifically Father Victor, because he's been moving up through the ranks rather quickly, and pretty much, I guess, the only way that they see that that could happen is from the big ups back home in Russia.
Okay, and just to clarify, is the one there, Elizabeth and Philip are hooked up with, is that Father Andre?
Yes, that's Father Andre.
And is Victor the one who snitched?
Yes.
Okay, snitch.
He's
damn.
A snitch, I know.
Yeah.
Snitchy.
She's a hater everywhere. You gotta watch your back, people out there.
Yeah. And okay, so the last, or I think it was the last scene in episode 8 is where Elizabeth is saying, "Hey, I have to go back out, you know, to follow the negotiator." But she says, "Father Andre needs to meet. You do it, Phil."
Right.
Now, what were you thinking when she said that? Were you just like, "Oh, this is not a good idea"? Because that's how I was feeling.
Okay. Then your spider sense works better than mine, because I didn't have a bad feeling about it, but I wanted to see how they were going to resolve things with this character.
Right.
Because we know the feds were on him. So, yeah, like I guess in the back of my head, like they had telegraphed that in the previous episode, that the feds are closing in on these pastors. And like, okay, yes, in the back of my head. So, yeah, it can't be good when Philip goes to meet him.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say? I don't know if we're going to get to this. But this is an important thing in episode 8 I wanted to highlight. Did you peep the scene when Philip, he puts on that new suit and he gets like tailored? And I was just like, what's going on with this? And then he goes and he goes to the video store and he rents like this old sitcom from Russia that he probably watched when he was a kid. And then he goes to Stavos and he does this whole like mea culpa. Does that look like he's preparing for death to you?
Oh, interesting.
Just like he wanted to like get things right. I don't know. I was like, what was the suit scene for?
You know? I felt like the suit scene, I feel like with Philip, he kind of bought into our, you know, the American culture that is capitalism, you know, with his business, and he quit the KGB, quote unquote, and was doing his whole business thing. And now that his business is starting to go under and he's having to lay people off. And I did write a note about this, actually.
Okay.
It is a stark contrast from where we see at the beginning, the very beginning of this season, in that whole montage of the song where he's like got his new suit on and a new car and his new, like, which is just the American dream.
Right, right.
To now he's seeing that slip away from him. And so I feel like he went to try on that suit just to like try to get that back, like try to feel that feeling, and it just wasn't there. And so he went and he rented that Russian movie or, you know, TV show.
So all that had, like, I'm sure sentimental value from when he was a kid or something.
Exactly. Just maybe just be like, that is more of my home than...
And wait, you know who dodged the bullet too? When Philip goes and he goes and talks to Stavos, the old employee, and he's like, "Yeah, sorry, I really hated doing that, you know, just this company's probably about to go down now, and you probably got off easy by leaving early." And he's like, "Yeah, and you're lucky I didn't call the police on you, because I knew something was going on
in the back room."
Oh my god,
so I knew. I was like, there's no way, because they would always cut to him specifically, Stavos.
Okay.
They would always cut to him whenever they were in the travel agency, and I was like, there, he has, you know, we don't know as an audience, but you have that feeling that he has to know something's going down.
And
sure enough, he knows something's going down, but he says, you know, "I'm loyal, I'm not a snitch."
Yeah. So, oh my goodness.
That's another loose end. And that ties back, because I was like, right then and there, or close to then and there, Philip could have killed him.
He totally would have. The old Philip maybe 5 years ago would have killed him.
Yeah.
But like, you know, not this Philip now.
But he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't.
Just like Elizabeth. And they actually cut to, right then, Elizabeth's scene with Jackson where she doesn't kill him. So it's like you see the change in character between these two.
The characters have gone full arc. Exactly. And I think her arc has probably been is bigger than Philip's, because Philip has always, he's been reticent to kill people.
Right.
Not that Elizabeth enjoyed it, but he's always, from the beginning, you know, he's always seemed to be more compassionate.
Right.
But like, she's finally completing her arc to going from this, like a cold-blooded Terminator, to finally like having compassion. You know what really helped too? Uh-huh. Shout out to that chick, Erica, who she had to basically like help euthanize the painter.
Yeah.
But, like, Erica helped put her in touch, I guess, kind of like with her inner self. I think that's what one of the things they're trying to say, like, with her art. She can finally, like, reflect on herself and her own pain and, like, see what she's doing.
Exactly. All right. Speaking of the painter, so she kills
ruthless.
The wife. And, you know, ends up taking a picture of the work. And she has of the lady's work, and she has a hard time burning it. Now, one thing that really stuck out to me when he was like, pick whatever you want. Mm. I was thinking, girl, you need to go find that picture she drew of you when you were sleeping.
Oh, wow.
Because
I didn't
she
think
is
about
the
that.
Only one who has a first-person drawing of what Elizabeth looks like.
Good catch, ladies and gentlemen. That's all we need to lean her back in the building. Good catch.
She
I totally forgot about that.
All these other police sketches, they kind of look the same, but not really. And those are second person. When you're describing someone to something to for somebody else to draw, it's not the same as an artist specifically seeing it with their own eyes and drawing it, and she doesn't even know that it exists.
Woo.
So I have a feeling that's another
ding, ding,
of mine.
Ding. That's a good
that's
one.
Gonna come
one.
Back to haunt her for sure, for sure. So she decides on also not to kill the Russian negotiator.
Yeah, I mean, like her arc is complete.
Yeah,
she's finally like finding her own voice as opposed to just taking orders. And we talked about that. A good soldier follows orders, but at the end of the day, sometimes you have to question your orders or, you know, the hierarchy, because they could be manipulating. And this is the perfect case where they were manipulating her.
Exactly.
And what we're really finding out is that it's not just, you know, it's not like a USSR versus America thing. It's really like the old Russia versus the new Russia.
Right.
You know, and oh man. Yeah, we really get into it. It's a deep concept, and I know we're going to get into it more later.
Yeah, for sure. Getting back to the FBI really quickly. In this episode, Stan is increasingly getting more suspicious of the Jennings.
Stan.
And it's finally starting to come together. And I kind of wish it would have come together. I wish there would have been bits and pieces beforehand, like a little bit, like a moment.
Right.
But his last moment was literally the first episode.
Okay, I forgot about that too. Yeah,
the series. And then he said he forgot about it.
Yeah.
And he just kind of let life roll. And now things are starting to come
back. Okay, all these things that we've discovered, all these loose ends, the fact that Stan's putting two and two together, the fact that Elizabeth let Jackson go, and like we're going to find out he's going to be blabbing later on, the fact that Philip let Stavos go, and you hope he doesn't say anything, and the fact that Elizabeth, you know, didn't kill Nestoranko. So we've talked about like all these like loose ends they left out there. It's like it's only a matter of time where it's going to implode on. It's just about like it's just like how and when, and like we want them to get away, but we don't know how. And anyway, that's why this episode was so good.
Yeah, totally. I'm gonna save this one for my prediction because I got a prediction. But Stan's girl is now, you know what I'm going to say about that. She is getting an interview at the FBI.
What about the point when she's like, do you think I'll get the job? And he's like, if you're a loyal American.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, God, Stan, they're all right under your nose.
That would make him look terrible, right? All these like KGB agents, like,
like
sleeping with him next door.
At that point, you just need to retire.
Yeah, you're like, Stan, you may not be doing a good job, Stan.
Exactly. Also, Stan goes back to Gregory's pal and asks him about Elizabeth.
That
and he
was a
even
good
has
one.
A picture. And I was surprised that Gregory was like, could be her, could be not her.
Yeah, it was Gregory's friend, right?
Gregory's friend.
Yeah, I love that. And like I told her, like, where do we know this guy from? And it brought it back to the whole Gregory character.
Yeah.
He was, for those of you who don't remember, he was like the young brother who was more like a Black Panther. He was like a subversive, and he and Elizabeth, you know, would hook up and, you know, kind of like just basically do these subversive things, you know, against the government. But what keeps coming up is that he remembers the girl was pretty. He says she had pretty hair. Then that guy who died, William Cradle, the one who was the U.S. guy who like, gave away the chemical secrets or whatever. Uh-huh. He was like, yeah, she was really pretty. They had these wonderful kids. And every time it kept coming up in Stan's mind that every person says, oh, she was really, really pretty. She had these pretty hair. They had these wonderful kids.
He's like,
all-American
ding,
couple.
Ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding,
yeah.
ding. Right under his nose.
But I mean, in the next episode, oh, we'll talk about that then.
All right.
You know what? We're having so much fun.
Yeah, we are.
Totally. And you know what? If you guys want to have fun and learn and grow in all areas of your life, for those who do, we have the podcast for you. That's right. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops Fridays on iTunes.
Hey.
You gotta check it out. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health to wellness to career, relationships, finance, and more, let our Maria be your big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate, comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us that sent you here. Specifically Al and Alina, right?
Hey, that's us. We got you.
That's right. So Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out. Ooh, I like that jam.
Havana.
Havana, na, na, na. And just a reminder, we have also the Cold War flashback coming up.
Oh, okay, okay,
but
okay.
But we're going to start off with episode 9 tonight.
Okay, okay.
Okay, so Jennings Elizabeth, and it opens with Sam Beeman doing the search.
Okay.
The search on Philip and Elizabeth.
He's doing his Googles.
Before Google existed, when it was like that green screen computer and everything took forever.
Yeah.
So what was your overall impression of this episode? Let's start with that.
Yeah, overall, it was incredible. It was incredible. You and I were just like stopping and looking at each other each time. This American's one of those shows, and I don't say it just because we're on this show, we're doing the panel, but I've been watching this show for like the last 6 years. I've seen every episode. It's literally one of my favorite shows on TV, and it's because of the writing. Like we were just talking about that, it's because of the characterization. It's like, yeah, the politics and stuff and all that is great, but that's really like window dressing compared to like how compelling the story is and the characters are. And what you're really going to want to see is, like we said, what's going to happen with Philip and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And their kids. That's what I care about.
Right. Exactly. It's weird that, you know, it's good writing when you're cheering for the people who are supposed to be, quote unquote, bad. You know?
Like,
you're cheering for them.
And that's what, you know, again, that's another reason the show is so good. You put your finger on it. I don't want to say moral relativism, but just that, you know, there's like no black and white. There's the gray area.
Right.
And segue, we're going to get into that when I talk about my latest news and I talk about like how the Americans do their little opening credit sequence.
Yes,
and talk
I love
about
that.
That.
I can't wait for that. So let's get into it. So for me, with this episode, as soon as like we finished it, I was like, goodness, this takes me back to like my college ethics class. And it's specifically an ethical theory called utilitarianism.
What is that?
And it's pretty much like the best option is the one that causes or that creates the most pleasure for people. So like you do things for the greater good.
Right.
You might sacrifice one thing, but if it helps more people, that is the best option.
Correct.
And I felt that that was like, why I came to that conclusion was because of what Oleg said to Stan, what Elizabeth did, what Phillips, like it seemed like every character for the most part in this main characters was on that certain route.
Right.
And that's what I felt. I was like, okay, Elizabeth's now doing things for the greater good.
Right.
And
even,
Oleg.
I'm sorry, Coach, but even Philip even mentioned that.
Yeah.
Who was he talking to? But he said the exact same thing. It's like, it's not about that. It's like, she like wants to save everybody.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like she wants to save. Oh, he was talking to Father Andre.
Okay.
He was saying that, you know, she just wants to save the world. And that's kind of, now that her eyes are open and even when her eyes were closed, she thought she was doing the right thing for her country.
Was. Yeah.
You know, so yeah. Okay. So getting back into it. Stan is searching Elizabeth and Philip. Oh my goodness. And he doesn't really come up with anything on Elizabeth or the travel agency, but there is a hit for Philip. But it's a completely different person.
Yeah, it's funny. I just, because my eyes aren't that good, I actually thought that it'd say hair black, but you're telling me it said it's actually a black man,
I thought it said, I just saw black, and then I saw that the age was 23, and I think the date of birth was 1963.
I trust
you. Would put someone at 23. But we were also saying that, you know, Philip Jennings can't be that unpopular of a name.
There's got to be another Philip, Jennings
rocking
around.
So it's kind of like a, could be, could not be.
Yeah.
But that definitely sends Stan down this longer road of really trying to figure
down
out
the rabbit
what's
hole.
Going
and
on.
One thing I was telling Alina, to me, is it's more obvious if someone doesn't have anything, because I feel like everybody's got like a parking ticket or something, and you look at somebody's records and it's totally clean, like
there. I get that. I think for sure with today's technology, that type of stuff would come up, but that was pretty rudimentary.
Okay, they didn't really have everything, all the records digitized
yet.
They
didn't have, no. Those were floppy disk computers, I believe. So yeah, they didn't quite have the programming, but I don't, you know, who knows? So yeah, there was no match. And when Phil goes to, or when Stan goes to visit Phil, woo, holy awkwardness.
Yeah, when he goes walking in there.
Wait,
what was the first awkward joke? Hey, Stan, you want us to do the FBI's flying travel?
That it was just, it was just like, you could tell, because it was just so, I think he was so caught off guard, like, what's he doing here?
Yeah.
What is this? And he's just, you know, in this weird place now with, he doesn't know. Like, we know as an audience that Beeman's on.
Stan's working.
Exactly.
Him.
But he doesn't know.
He doesn't know. And he's trying to keep cool.
He is. He definitely is trying to keep cool. And, yeah, I mean, Stan's just, he's trying to get
all
everyone.
Up in it.
He calls Pastor Tim.
Ooh, calls Tim?
He brought back Tim.
Oh, my, dig up
Shout
Tim
out
from
to
the
Pastor
past.
Tim, who's actually Kelly Aquan, who's also on the Showtime show Billions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which one is
Great
Pastor
guy.
Tim? Who
Go follow him on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, he called. He didn't snitch. Now, here's one thing I wrote down. Okay, confidentiality, because it was a confidential statement that Paige made to him as like a pastor.
Paige is dumbass. I'm sorry.
No, comes back to bite you, girl. All that yelling you did at the end.
Exactly.
Her mom could have pulled that out.
It really would have been all on you if they all go down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Pastor Tim did not say anything. He lied. A man of the cloth lied. Was it for the right reason?
Ooh, that's a good question. What I'm going to do is look at that question by not looking at it from what I know from Philip and Elizabeth's side, because we know that they've actually trying to like work toward peace now. But I'm going to look at it from his perspective as a pastor. If he looked at it from a limited point of view, like, okay, they're enemies of the state, I'm surprised he didn't go back on his word or whatever this oath is. And I get it. It's it's kind of like, okay, the Russian pastor went through the same thing. Like, you know, like, do you break your oath or not? Is this something bigger than your oath? So I'm surprised, because I thought he could have justified it by, like, loyalty to his country and maybe saving lives. He would have looked at this, like, using that axle that you use, that theorem, that this is saving more people by, like, you know, by revealing this little information. So I was actually surprised that he didn't. And the only thing I could think of, maybe he said something, is like when Beeman asked about Paige, I want to say it's maybe because he thought Paige's life would have been ruined.
Right.
That, like, the wheel started turning. He's like, okay, maybe I just don't want to ruin this, her entire life, and see her family
go to
prison.
Right,
because
she was innocent in it.
Yeah,
little does he know.
Yeah, I know.
Little does he know about Paige.
Pastor Tim turned out to be ride or die. Look at
I mean, yeah, I get I was kind of on the fence about whether he would or wouldn't, because he did have the reason why Paige was, you know, directed towards the church was because he was against a lot of the things that actually Philip and Elizabeth were too.
Yeah, yeah, he's
it just
a very
wasn't
progressive
right.
Pastor.
It just exactly so. I think he got close. That was smart of Elizabeth and Phil to say, hey, we need to get close to him, because it ended up coming back in their favor in the end. I think.
Yeah.
Because had they have not done that, then
the right thing.
Exactly.
And there's something to be said about all these relationships where you actually end up befriending somebody on the other side.
Because then there's a loyalty.
There's a loyalty, whether it's with Stan and the Jennings, or whether it's with the Jennings and the pastor. Mm-hmm. I think even if somebody's on the other side, it's all about how you treat people. Like, we may be on opposite sides, but if you treat me with integrity, I see your humanity. At least you care about me, so maybe I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Right, and you gave them a chance to get to know them.
Basically.
You know?
Yeah. And basically, like, That's what
life lessons.
Life lessons, man. Who are you lessons. On the inside? Exactly. Who are you? What do you stand for?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was cool to see Pastor Tim come back, definitely. Mm. But you could tell that Stan wasn't buying all of it.
Yeah, that was the longest pause I've seen in a movie. It was like 20 seconds of dead silence.
Yeah, so Stan is not, it's just not sitting well with him. So he actually tells Dennis. He tells Dennis what's up.
Dennis thinks he's crazy.
Yeah, Dennis is like, no, I don't think so. I mean, it is a lot of circumstantial evidence, but he's like, I don't see it. They're not. There's no way.
Yeah. When you really think about it, it makes for compelling television, but how long did Elizabeth and Philip think they can go and like maintain this ruse? And like, nobody knows. Stavros knows. People across the street. Everybody knows about you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are like the last people to know. The last people know that,
that other people know.
Yeah, that other people know.
You thought you were being slick, not so slick. Not so slick. Okay, speaking of Elizabeth, we got a flashback of her this episode where she's back in Russia and she's going through her training. And we don't really know what's going on at first. Obviously, she's... When it's present time, Elizabeth, she's following the negotiator. And there's no dialogue, no nothing. But you can tell she's really in her thoughts. Her thoughts are her dialogue. And we come to find out that she's thinking back to a time when she was on a mission or training. And she comes across an accident where a policeman was dead. His horse was in, like, disarray. And another guy was almost on the brink of death from a motorcycle accident. It was just an accident. And she left.
But real quick, did I pick up, though, we're going to get into how she handled it, but did I pick up also, though, rightfully, maybe you guys can tell me in the comments, that the accident, one of the people in the accident was somehow related to, like, her training mission?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. Oh, okay. I think the lady said that, like, you don't leave a comrade down. Yeah. Meaning just like any other Russian.
In other words, it's like if you have your mission, but at the end of the day, it's all about, like, you know, leave nobody behind. People.
It's all about don't leave other Russians behind.
Yeah.
And I think that tied back to her
100%.
Not going after... killing the negotiator and actually becoming now his secret bodyguard. Yeah. You know,
100%. I hate to like take it to one time my dad told me, but one time my dad said, son, he said, who are you? And I was like, oh, I'm me, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, who are you? Like, what do you stand for? And that's what it exactly was with Elizabeth. It's like, if you're serving your country, like, who are you? The type of person who leaves somebody behind enemy lines, or do you go help them? Do you risk yourself or do you like skedaddle out the back door and snitch?
Yeah.
So that we're finding out who these characters, what their characters is, what they're really made of, each of the characters.
Yeah, exactly. And she decides maybe this is like her kind of not retribution, but
redemption.
Yeah, yes. Thank you. Her redemption moment, like, because she was thinking back to that, and like now she's like, I can do the right thing.
Exactly.
And I can make sure that this person doesn't get killed because I know exactly what they're gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she actually goes and kills this KGB agent who's after the negotiator.
I was glad that she killed
in
her
in broad daylight and walks off like as slick as she is.
And it was the agent that was trying to snitch on Oleg too, right? It was the female agent.
I didn't catch that.
Okay, the cut to the after Elizabeth had taken out the agent, the replacement killer.
I mean, they did do a long thing on her.
So I felt like I could be wrong. Maybe you guys can help me. But she looked familiar, so I was wondering if she was the same KGB agent that like Oleg had sold out, and so she was like the backup they threw in there. Anyway, something interesting.
Huh?
I thought she looked familiar because they kept lingering on that close up of her.
That is very interesting. Speaking of Oleg.
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 I knew he was going to go down.
God, I just feel... It's just like, if people could just listen to each other. So Oleg, you know, Philip does a drop to him. Oleg picks it up. The people are on Oleg. So they say, hey, you know, he's been in the dark for like 2 seconds. He could have picked something up. Dennis says, you know, go take him down if he's there. Search him. Sure enough, they find the note. It's a coded note, and he won't uncode it.
Right.
But it was a sad moment to see because you could just see the look of disappointment in his face, and just like you don't know what
close
you're
up,
doing.
There's this close up too on right when they arrest Oleg. There's close up on his face where you see it all, and the audience is like, "But wait, he has a family, he has a kid, and he didn't even want to do this, but it was one last mission, and he was already out. But they pulled him back in for one time. That's the one time they get him."
Well, check this out. So, and this might be one of my favorite scenes. Was between Stan and Oleg.
That was a good
scene. In that one cell. in the cell where Oleg tells him, you know, he pretty much lays it out on the line, the whole mission about Gorbachev thing. And he says, I have to get this note to the person that I'm supposed to get it to, because this could all go down. And what I wrote down for this, obviously, was the greater good. He's doing it for the greater good. But also, like, just trust, because it took a lot of trust for him to tell Stan that. But it's also we're going to have to see if Stan trusts him enough.
And Stan's dummies, yeah. Dumb ass. He didn't get it. He reminds me of Stan's, and that's what I love about the show. It's not favoring Russia over U.S. One doesn't have the moral high ground. It's these two people, these two camps that are too entrenched. Right. Stan cannot believe in
he's like the illegals. I want the illegals. That's all I care about.
He can't fathom that Oleg's not telling him wrong information, that he could actually be working for peace. He just has so much distrust and enmity, which is the same side as the KGB, like Claudia and all the old school agents. They can't fathom that the U.S. would actually want peace. So it's like they're talking past each other. It's like the human condition, man. We can't trust each other.
Exactly, which is like so sad. And it's you want to like yell at Stan, like, just trust him.
Dummy!
As the audience knows more information than he does. And Oleg, one thing I really liked about him, and this is so weird to say, is that he didn't give up the illegals.
Thank goodness.
That's loyalty. That is like, if you work for an intelligence agency, that's a person you want working for you.
Yeah,
because
he showed them the picture.
He's willing to go to jail and not see his family new son for the greater good.
That's a tough one, man.
That's
a tough one.
I mean, that takes some serious character and like loyalty and just seeing the bigger picture of like, I will sit and I will rot in this cell for 30 years as long as there's peace outside.
There's that theme that keeps coming back, and each of the characters are dealing with like, will they commit these atrocities by dishonoring themselves, or will they dishonor themselves? I always think back to like to Game of Thrones reference. Anybody who watched that knows that the patriarch character at the end, Ned, he has to weigh on. He's like, okay, will I tell this lie to make people happy, or will I dishonor myself? And he actually chooses to tell a lie to save his family. And so I'm always wondering, like, how will I do in that situation? Will I tell a lie to save my family, or will I go down like with my honor, my quote honor, you know, like leave everybody like, you know,
it's a tough decision.
Leave everybody in the wind.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one, definitely. But that was an amazing scene.
Yeah.
Loved that scene. Moving on to, let's talk about, Philip and Father Andre. So Philip actually goes and meets him, and I was just like, oh no, this
Do
is not going to end.
They might be watching me.
This is not going to end well. And we as the audience actually see that while Oleg is being questioned by Stan, they come in and say, you know, something about Father Andre and the fathers and all that.
Father Andre got snitched out by another hater priest.
So Philip meets up with him, obviously in disguise. Doesn't really matter, because there's going to be surveillance pictures.
Right.
After Father Andre tells him, you know, oh, Father Victor, I think it was, might have snitched me out. Phil's like, are you kidding me?
It's like, I got reassigned. Do you think that means anything?
Yeah. Like, he's like, get yourself a ticket, get out of here, bye. Deuces.
And I love how the camera shows like Philip's POV, then he starts making out all the agents
great.
Were like clocking
He's like,
him.
Oh my goodness, I am just, I know I'm being followed. Yeah. And he just starts booking
it. I love that. I love
that. He was going faster than Usain Bolt.
He wasn't trying to be cool. No. He wasn't trying to be slick. He was like,
not
I'm boning
sexy,
out.
nothing. He's like, I'm hightailing it out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So he hightails it out of there, and eventually, you know, switches kind of his outfit, hops in a cab, goes to a payphone, calls Elizabeth, and gives her the go code.
Oh my God. That was like, my heart just sunk.
For this.
I was waiting. I was like, that's the moment you know that's coming, but you hope it never comes down to.
Right.
It's like, baby, I can't come home. I have a headache.
Everything's
tipsy
turvy at the office. And she's like,
yeah, everybody, for those who watch the show, they would never talk to each other like that. So immediately, like, that's the call to, like, you know, it's time to bounce, get the go bag, get the kids, whatever. I'm waiting to see what they're going to do with the kids.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with the kids. Speaking of kids.
Kids?
Paige. Ooh, she had a hot mouth coming in on her. I'm surprised Elizabeth didn't just
slap her. She might have earned
her
a fresh one, right?
You know, I mean, so Paige comes in before Elizabeth gets the go code and brings up Jackson, saying that, you know, he was at a bar and the guy that she's dating, Brian, helped him because he was like drunk, and starts talking about the story. She puts two and two together, figures out it's Elizabeth, and she brings it up, and Elizabeth lies.
But wait, here's the funny thing. Paige could have really got on her a little deeper level. Wait, because Elizabeth got the idea to date and sleep with an intern from Paige. From that was Paige's idea.
From Paige. Wow. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And she was just like, do you do this? Have you been doing this all my life? And
then
she busted out the whore. And I was like, I was thinking for Elizabeth, I was like, God, she gave birth, she carried you for 9 months.
I bought you in the score, I'll bring you out.
Exactly.
That's what my mom would say.
Exactly.
You can't say everything you want.
Exactly, but I mean, she just brought up, she's like, you're lying, all these lies, I should have known it. And then Elizabeth dragged Philip into it. She's like, well, your dad does
it too. Pops under the bus too, man. She didn't have to throw him under the bus.
Philip's not even
your
there
dad
to defend
does it too.
Himself.
Exactly. But the best thing is when she was like, sex is nothing.
Yeah. I mean, that was a great scene. Carrie Russell pulled it out on that one for sure.
She killed it.
For sure. All right. So we got a few minutes left. So let's do the Cold War flashback really, really quick, because I want to get to predictions, because we got to get to predictions for this.
Okay. All right, everybody, for Cold War flashbacks, I don't know if we have the video queued up yet, Philip, but a couple of episodes ago that we didn't get a chance to do our flashbacks, they featured this film, independent film called Rafifi, and that's actually where Elizabeth arranged to bump into Jackson
right.
Like the intern and the film nerd. Anyway, what's so special about the film Rafifi, it resonates on a couple of levels. Number one, this came out in 1955. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like the dawning of film noir. America was kind of coming into its own form of cinema. Mm-hmm. At the same time, they had the French New Wave going on, so these like really kind of like competing and elaborate styles of art. But the flip side of it was, this is how also ties into the Cold War. The director of Rafifi, Jules Dassani, was an American director, but he got caught up in the blacklist. They brought him before the committee, like in the McCarthy hearings, and they stripped him of everything. So he was actually able to luckily get out of New York. He actually used to live in Harlem, but went to go live in France. So he was one of the victims of the Cold War and the Red Scare and McCarthyism.
Wow, that's great. There it is.
Yeah, there's the film Rafifi. By the way, excellent film. There's a really good.
I love how they tie in those things.
And here's another tie-in. Here's a third tie-in. Uh-huh. The show uses a lot of the same concept. What you see in one of the heist sequences in Rafifi is you see this every. Everything goes dead when there's a heist. Like, you know, the music goes dead. You just see feet. You see hands punching. You see people running over. But all you hear is the sound. You don't hear the music. And the Americans do that a lot. Like, kind of like, with Philip and them, like when they just have the shootout with the feds, you know, the sound drops. All you hear about them is they screech into the garage. Philip breaks the glass. She doesn't say anything. They look at each other.
Yeah.
Then they chop the head and you hear the chop. But there's something about, there's something about, like when you just lose the score and you just go down to just like naked sound. And it's a very artful technique that works in The Americans and in Rafifi.
Ah, nice. Love it. Learn something new every Cold War flashback.
Hey.
You know what? We're going to save the opening sequence for next week. I think that'll be really good. It's so good, and I definitely want people to see it. But since we're running behind, we're going to do that. I want to get to predictions.
Predictions.
Yes. I see all my written down predictions. All right, I'm going to let you go first.
All right. Well, I'm going to cheat because I know history already.
For
those of you who don't know, we saw the show Gorbachev in the last episode.
Uh-huh.
And if you know history, Gorbachev, he makes it out of the U.S. You know, he comes home for the summit. But so in that aspect, you can tell, at least film to TV show wise, the coup doesn't happen.
Right.
Here's another thing. Interesting. I saw this on the internet.
Oh, okay.
We're all worried about, you know, is Stan going to bust Philip and Elizabeth and all that? Here's one.
Isn't a spoiler, is it?
No.
Okay.
It's not known.
Okay.
I was debating this with somebody online.
Okay.
You guys can tell me.
Okay.
But Stan busts Philip and Elizabeth, and guess who busts in to save Philip and Elizabeth? Renee!
Renee! I knew it! I knew it! I knew it! That is
She's like, I had your back the whole time, guys. I'll take him out.
That is my prediction.
Is that your prediction?
That is my prediction.
I took your prediction.
Oh my God. Okay, so my prediction is, because Renee's too, she's not an inconsequential character. Like, she's there for a reason.
She has to be there for a reason.
They
finally got to use her.
She's like, there for a reason. I think she's there to make sure that Stan, if he's getting close to that, to discovering them, she's going to alert them or do something. She's definitely going to become a major player, I think, in this next episode, for sure.
That's a ticking time bomb that hasn't gone off yet.
See, and I think that Stan is obviously going to figure out it's Philip. We have the pictures coming, the surveillance pictures coming. Plus, there's other, you know, just people out there.
It's
who
a wrap,
know.
People. It's
exactly.
a wrap. The Jennings are caught,
and
people.
Actually, I think he'll probably. Because there's such a friendship, I think he's going to confront him.
That's what I want to see.
And he's going to figure out, I think, that they kind of want the same thing.
That's what I want.
I kind of think he's going to be like, you need to get out of here. You need to go.
And I mean, that's what you're hoping
for.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for.
But who knows? And here's another thing. So Carrie and Matthew were on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert at the beginning of the season.
Okay.
And Colbert asked him, you know, could there be a sequel to this? And Carrie said, you know, maybe with the kids. So I think the kids are going to make it out okay.
Okay.
She said it could possibly be with the kids. You could tell their story.
That would be nice.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens to the kids, what happens to them.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
You Americans, it's almost over.
Why is it just one more? Stop. What am I going
to
do?
I don't know. We'll have to tune in next week.
Exactly. All right. Well, you guys let us know what your predictions are in the comments below. We love seeing them. You can also tweet at us. Where can people find you?
Hey, everybody, I'm Al G. You can find me at Jamaica House Doc on Twitter and on IG at Al_Jamaica House Film. Brat!
That's right. I need one of those brat.
Brat.
I'm going to go, okay. So I'm Alina Vision. You can follow me on all social media at Alina Vision, and that's Vision with two S's. Y'all, we're at the wire, down to the wire. So we will see you guys next week, same place, same time.
Holler at us in the chat and the YouTube. Well, I see you guys talking.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.